2 hours later, I was standing alone at the gates of Orithena. The wall was 20 feet high, made of blocks of fine-grained gray-brown stone that were all the same size and shape. As I stood there, sweating in the sun, waiting for an answer to my knock, I had more than enough time to examine these and to conclude that they had been cast in molds, using some process that fused loose volcanic ash into a sort of concrete. Each was about the size of a small wheelbarrow, say the largest that a couple of Avout could move around using simple tools. Anyway, the courses were extremely regular, since all of the blocks were clones. Some were slightly browner, some slightly grayer, but on the whole, the wall looked as if it had been snapped together out of a child's building toy kit. The gates themselves were steel plates, which would last a good long while in this climate. After knocking, I stepped well back to get cleared of the stored heat radiating from those panels, which were large enough to admit two of the largest Drummonds abreast. I turned and looked back at the souvenir stand a few hundred feet down the hill. Cord, leaning back against the shady side of Yule's Fetch, waved at me. Saman took a picture on his Jija. The gate was framed between a pair of cylindrical bastions perforated with small gridded windows. The one on the left sported a tiny door, also of steel. After some time had passed, I ambled over and knocked on it. Framed in its upper half was a hatch, just about the size of my hand. 10 minutes or so later, I heard movement on the other side. A door opened, then slammed shut within the bastion. A latch scrabbled. The little hatch creaked open. The room on the other side of it was dark and, I guessed, delightfully cool. But my eyes were adjusted to the blasting sun of an Ekba noon and I could see nothing. "Know that you address a world that is not your own and into which you may not pass, save that you make a solemn vow not to leave it again," said a woman's voice, speaking in locally accented Flukish. This was what she was supposed to do. Gatekeepers in places like this have been saying this, or some variant of it, since Cartus. "Greetings, Mysur," I said. "Let us speak in Orth, if you please. I am Fra Erasmus of the Edharian chapter of the Decenarian Math of the Consent of St. Edhar." A pause. Then the hatch closed and was latched. I waited for a while. Then the hatch opened again, and I heard a deeper, older woman's voice.
"I am Dimma," she said.
"Greetings, Sir Dimma, Fra Erasmus at your service."
"That I am your sir, or you my fra, is very much undecided in my mind, as you come so attired."
"I have traveled far," I returned. "My bolt, cord, and sphere were stolen from me as I made peregrine across the Seculum."
"No convox is summoned hither. We do not look for peregrines."
"It seems inhospitable," I said, "that Orithena, whence the first peregrines departed, should not open her gates for one who has returned."
"Our duty is to the discipline, not to any custom of hospitality. There are hotels in town. Hospitality is their business."
The little hatch made a noise as if she were getting ready to close it. "What part of the discipline permits a vow to sell soap extramuros?" I asked. "Where does the discipline state that bolted fras may stroll about yonder town?"
"Your discourse belies your claim to be a vow," said Dimma. "As a fra would know that there are variations in the discipline from one math to the next."
"Many avout would not know it, since they never leave their own maths," I demurred.
"Precisely," Dimma said,
and I could imagine her smirking in the dark at how deftly she had turned the point to her advantage, for I was on the outside, where no avout should be. "I grant that your customs may differ from those of the rest of the mathic world," I began. She interrupted me.
"Not so much so that we would admit one who had not sworn the vow."
"Did Orlo swear the vow, then?"
A few seconds of silence.
Then she closed the hatch. I waited. After a while, I turned back, waved to my friends, and pantomimed a big shrug. It was strangely difficult to reconnect with them, even in such a simple gesture, after having stared over the threshold of the math. I had bid goodbye to them a few minutes ago as if I'd be back in time for lunch. But for all I knew, I might end up spending the rest of my life there. The hatch again.
"State your business, you who style yourself Fra Erasmus," said a man in Orth.
Fra Jad, millenarian, would know Orlo's mind on certain matters and sends me in quest of him.
Orlo, who was thrown back?
The same.
One on whom the anathem has been rung down may never more go into a math,
the man pointed out.
And for that matter, one who has been evoked and dispatched to Convox at Tredegar may not suddenly present himself at a different math on the other side of the world.
I had already suspected the answer before we reached Ekba. Certain clues had bolstered my hypothesis. But, strangely, what clinched it for me was the architecture of the place. No concessions to the Mathic style here.
The riddle that you pose is a trying one, I admitted. However, on reflection, its answer is clear.
Oh? What is its answer, then?
This is not a math, I said.
What is it, if not a math?
The cloister of a lineage that was born 1,000 years before Cardus and her discipline.
You are welcome to Orathena, Fra Erasmus.
Heavy bolts moved and the door swung open. I stepped forward into Orathena and into the lineage.